My name is Olivia. I'm a co-host of the university's Take Note podcast, which is recorded on Kaurna land. I was born and raised on Kaurna country. In 2019, I was fortunate to visit the APY lands and live within the Pipalitjara community for 5 days. This visit was eye-opening and truly allowed me to understand the depth of culture prevalent in the lands. I'd like to acknowledge the elders past, present and future as the true owners of the land and express my gratitude for everything they've helped me learn and will continue to learn. Okay, I think I found another ghost story.
Stop!
You'll want to make a note.
Should you be taking notes or something?
You got a pencil? Write this down quick.
Why aren't you taking notes?
Write this down.
Aren't you going to write this down?
Did you need me to take notes?
Please take notes.
Hey guys! Welcome back to Take Note. I am seriously so excited today. Megan and I are finally back in the studio together.
Oh my gosh, it's been too long. I feel like I'm on my first day all over again.
No, literally, it's so weird. So obviously the most recent episode, you had to listen to my voice for such a long time.
Love it.
But we had Hari and Sophia call into the Burnout Buzz line. The week before, we were obviously together with Hattie.
Mm.
But then before that, I was sick as well when we had our final student correspondent episode.
So between like 6 weeks, we really had one episode together.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like we did the whole thing with Hattie from Headspace. So
yeah. Like she was so prepped and well-spoken that we didn't do too much for that episode.
It was so easy. We just sat there and got some mental health advice.
I know. Literally so good.
Gosh. I don't know about you guys, but I am super excited to be back behind the mic with Meg. And it's Hella weekend.
Oh my gosh. So many things happening, but I'm not doing too much. What about you?
Yeah, I don't know. I love dressing up.
Yeah.
I'm not really doing anything for Halloween, but I just think Halloween's so fun. Like, get dressed up. I'm not really about like the scary vibe. I'm not about the trick. I'm not about the scares. I'm here for the treat and the costume. We wanted to make this episode a bit of a fun one because today is the last day of classes for semester two. So technically the last day of classes at Uni of Adelaide. So we thought that we would just do like a little fun episode. Hopefully when you guys listen to it, you have a little giggle and then you can hustle on your week of swap back and slay all of your exams.
Yeah. I feel like I have two celebrations, as in like I got with my friends last day of classes and then during swap back we lock in. But then last day of exam is my other celebration.
Yeah.
So I hope you're all out there celebrating with your friends and doing something fun for yourself before you lock in.
I feel like you need to have that like little moment of a rest. Mm-hmm. And this year, Halloween is perfectly timed. I have been so obsessed with Dancing with the Stars in America.
Yes! I don't watch it, but it's all on TikTok, so I know it from there.
I love it. So all of those costumes, all the like sparkles, everything they wore at Disney night was like incredible.
Yeah, and an Australian represent.
Robert Irwin.
Yeah.
And talking about like the American, obviously Halloween is way bigger in America, but we have so many international students and Halloween, I feel like, can be a celebration for all. So use today as an excuse to get dressed up and have a little celebration.
Yeah, and there's so many out there too, like different clubs are hosting their Halloween parties, but there's also Study Adelaide that's hosting one.
Oh, fun.
I'm pretty sure a lot of study clubs in our uni also hosting like a little get together. So keep an eye out because it's all out there. But yeah, oh my gosh, the dress up and just away from school and just having fun before all of that stressful exams. Give yourself a break. Especially with previous episode, we literally just talked about like giving yourself a proper break before going into studying.
Yeah.
To avoid reaching burnout.
The break that you all need.
Yeah. If you guys don't even know after God knows how many episodes, Olivia is born and raised in Adelaide.
Yeah.
I was born and raised in Malaysia and I moved here 3 to 4 years ago. I thought that our Halloween stories would be very different and like our upbringing with...
Probably.
Yeah. What's it like here?
I feel like it's pretty low-key. So in Adelaide, there's like the city is always busy.
Yeah.
And there'll be like what you're talking about, like proper hosted parties in the city. But then in terms of like organic trick-or-treating, there's like areas that you know to go to.
For better treats?
Or... No, just like so many places in Adelaide, it like doesn't fly. Like you can't just pull up at any house like in America.
Oh.
So if we think about where I live, no one in my area puts like any decorations up.
Oh.
On years that we do put decorations up, we'll have like a couple people come. But like you can only go to a house that has decorations.
Oh, is that how you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then like there's areas that people just come to know of, like within the culture, like different suburbs and things like that, or like a certain street that the whole street will decorate so then people know that you can go to that area.
Yeah. Okay.
And everyone on that street, well, everyone with decorations, but like if you live in that area, like it's all decorated.
Mm.
And like everyone that I went to school with, we all went to the same area when we would go trick-or-treating. But then since I've met people at uni, they're like, no, my area was over here that we would all go. So like everyone kind of knows the area that's like good to be in.
Oh, okay.
But like it's not like you can just like pull out of your house and just like go for a little walk around.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but that makes sense.
Trick-or-treating is obviously for like the littler kid.
Yeah.
I did this when I was like a kid.
Yeah. 5, 6-ish.
Oh, probably like up 8. To 13.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
What
I
about
definitely.
You?
I didn't celebrate Halloween. And when I say celebrate, I mean like dressed up and get candy. None of that. Like, but didn't celebrate it. I think our school hosted one once and we had like a fake haunted house with student like the
haunted house.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They decorated the whole drama room and it's quite big. And then the year 11 students and year 10 students like be the ghosts and like the killers, stuff like that. And it was very scary because it was primary school kids going through that house.
Oh my gosh. That is so scary.
I know. And it was dark and it was music. And it was like fake blood and stuff like that. But it was a bit controversial in my school, so they took it down. And then we stopped celebrating Halloween for a while.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. We literally do like nothing like that.
In school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like some teachers, when you're like in primary school, might have you like color in a pumpkin.
Oh, it's so cute.
And then like when I was a kid, one of our family friends used to host a Halloween party.
Mm.
But like really everyone would just get dressed up. And then they would make weird looking food. Like they would turn like eggs into eyeballs and things like that.
Oh.
But then like that's all that happened.
Okay. Well, that was just a 1 year really.
Yeah.
Because then there was also students that would, so you know how some people would pretend that their hand's crawling out the floor and like students were stepping on it. So they were obviously like real, like
there's no way you actually did that.
Well, not me, like I went through it, but and I was terrified out of my life, but like there were students that were stepping on their hands because they were so scared.
Oh, like stomping on it on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just, it didn't end up, it was just controversial.
Oh my gosh.
And I think because of religious reasons as well, some people, because I grew up from an Islamic country, so it's just like something that's not celebrated. But people in my neighborhood did dress up and go around to like the 6-7 houses that they knew. Very minimal Halloween decorations. And then the parents would give out candies, but nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Like even our costumes were just, it wasn't scary at all. And it was just like very cute stuff. Like someone dressed up as like a huge pumpkin.
So cute.
I dressed up in my pajamas with like a bit of fake blood on it. Cause I was like, can't do anything.
I had this like skeleton dress that my mom bought 1 year. And I think I wore that like 5 years in a row. I'm not really about the scary costumes, so I didn't want to dress as like a vampire or anything. So I would just wear this skeleton dress every year.
Oh my gosh.
It was like a strapless and it was so short. So I always wore like leggings underneath it. But it literally was like a strapless like dress with like bones on it.
Wait,
and
cute.
Then it was a tutu.
That's so cute.
Yeah,
you have
so
to have a photo.
Funny.
I don't have any photos of mine. But when I was, I think in year 9, so 14. We went to this college that hosted a Halloween party. I dressed up as Georgie from It. So I had
with the balloon?
Yes. So I had a really weird phase where I was into like, what's that called? Studio makeup?
And
I
like learned special effects makeup?
Yeah, that's it. So you kind of use like paper mache on your skin and then you like carve it out and pretend you put blood so it looks like a huge injury. So I did that there and I did it on my cheekbone. It was so strange. And I went as Georgie, but
that's cute.
Yeah. That was like my most iconic Halloween costume, to be honest, but I only had like 3 in my whole life. What about you?
So when I was a kid, I think I went as, I don't know. I went as like a devil once and I got these like purple sparkly devil ears.
What a diva.
I went as a skeleton like 5 or 6 times, like so many years in a row. And 1 year, like when I was really little, I like teased my hair so it looked like I'd been like electrocuted.
So smart.
But then I like went fully off the scary costumes.
Okay.
And then the most recent Halloween thing I can think of was when I was in year 11. So like literally ages ago.
Oh my gosh.
But me and my 2 best friends all went as cowgirls. I was the blue one and we had a pink one and a black one.
Cute.
And we wore like matching satin mini skirts. And we had like bandanas and cowboy hats. It was cute.
Yeah. Simple, but like cute.
Yeah.
Like a trio kind of outfit.
Yeah. Nothing crazy.
Yeah. Oh,
nothing
did you not celebrate
scary
when you're in uni?
I'm trying to think. I lucky don't think so.
Because it was like during assignment season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Halloween's always at the weirdest time.
Yeah.
So it's like so tricky. So a couple of years ago when I started dating my partner, he has like super tall blonde hair. Mm-hmm. And in case you didn't already know, my hair is blonde as well. So I'm like, the next time we get invited to a dress up event, like we have to go as Barbie and Ken.
Yes, that's perfect.
But I haven't been invited to anything. So if someone wants to invite me to their Halloween party, I'll force him to
dress up as the cowboy Barbie, like the pink.
Yeah, like the roller skating one. So anyway.
That one's really cute though.
I'm like waiting for more events where I can go as a non-scary Halloween character.
I really wanted to go as Coraline's other mom. And I imagine if I had a partner, it would be Coraline's other dad. But
oh,
it's so
cute.
Because I love Coraline. Have you watched it?
Is that with the button eyes?
Yeah.
It's scary.
Have you watched it?
So I watched it as a kid, like when I was like little.
Yeah.
And like, I obviously didn't really get it, so I didn't really think it was that scary.
Yeah.
And then I watched it. I tried to watch it like 3 years ago and I couldn't get through it. I was too scared.
It's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, okay, I'll say haunting a little bit, but it just makes you so unsettling. It's unsettling. That's
so I
it.
Feel like when I watched it as a kid, like, you don't really think about the fact that, like, that would hurt or anything.
Mm.
You're just like, oh my God, like, Halloween movie, so it's all dark and they've got, like, buttons. Ha-ha.
Yeah.
Go about my life.
Yeah.
But then when I watched it as an adult, I was like,
it's so eerie.
Yeah.
The, like, other children and everything. But I don't know. Like, I watched it as a kid as well. My mom did not let me watch it. So I would go over to my friend's place.
Mm.
I think I was, like, 5 or 6 here. And then their parents allowed them to watch it and let us watch it. So we watched it and I was like scared for weeks. But I think it's because I had this really scary fear of like getting kidnapped as a kid.
Oh my gosh.
So thought of her not being able to like go out to back to like her home scared me. That's what haunted me really. But yeah, I didn't think about the button eyes. I didn't think about that side of things. But when I rewatched it when I was older, it was so unsettling.
Mm.
But I love Coraline. I love the whole thing. It's so viral now. Like everyone's dressing up as her. Everyone's talking about
it. When I was like, the most popular movie was, what's that one where they have the X's on their eyes? The Purge.
Yeah.
That's what everyone wanted to dress up as, and that was really popular.
I feel like
and
I was so sheltered.
Sound was trending. It's like, something is the Purge. You have 24 hours.
Oh,
do you know the one with like the automated voice?
I hate it. So someone joked about it being real one time, and I got so scared. I can't watch those movies.
Yeah.
I always think about what I would do if I had to escape, but...
No, I seriously, I'm not the person to ask about Halloween movies. I am, like, the biggest scaredy cat for anything horror. If there's anything even slightly scary, so, like, say I'm scrolling on TikTok and I see, like, you know how, like, some movies, like, play?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'll, like, watch, like, 10 seconds of something, and if it's too scary, I have to, like, scroll for another 15 minutes, like, calm myself down to go to sleep.
And you're not even, like, watching anything. You're just, like, trying to distract yourself.
Yeah, I'm like,
out of it.
Seriously, like, I hate anything scary, all horror movies.
Mm.
Like, I can't do it. Like, I just get so scared. I've never seen It. I've never seen Jaws. Like, is Jaws
Scary?
Yeah. I've never seen, like...
I remember Jaws, but, like...
Anything scary.
Saw is super scary.
I haven't even heard of it.
It's just, like... Yeah. It just...
I feel like I have such, like, a unrealistic outlook where I just think that everything's going to be, like, sunshine and rainbows. So I just, like, can't
deal. Period. I guess you do the day.
As a kid, I was scared of the scene in The Lorax, you know, where he, like, is on the bike and he rides on the winding path to the Onceler's. Is it the Onceler?
I don't remember what it's called.
When he's, like, on that winding path on the bike, I was scared of that. I couldn't watch it. I had to make my parents skip through it.
Oh, my God. Wait, that's kind of cute, though. I had a friend that was scared of Madagascar because of the eyes. And I'm like, they're just animal eyes, but cool.
No, I was chill with Madagascar.
Okay. But the thing is, I love scary movies and I love, like, things that are haunting. But, like, I wouldn't mess with it, first of all. And then I also will get scared. I'll watch it out of curiosity. So I can't control it. If I'm curious, I'll keep watching.
I am the worst with FOMO and the worst with anything. Like, if I know a little bit, I need to know everything. But if it's scary, I want no part of it.
Okay.
Someone will be like, the best movie ever. Like, everyone's talking about it. If it's scary, I literally don't care. Don't want to know.
Okay, that's
like,
good. That's good. I think that's what Sof talked about once as well. Like, once it's scary and she's curious, she's going to keep wanting to know, but she's going to be haunted.
Yeah. No, I literally don't care. Like, if it's scary, like, take me out of it.
Okay. Oh, whoa. I feel like because I went through some of these ghost stories on Reddit last night and I was like, I want to share some of that on our podcast. But if it's too scary, we're literally going to like, you can cover your ears.
Yeah, I know. Just before we jump into these stories, I just do want to give you a little consent warning. Like we said, there will be discussions of ghosts, things that are scary. It might be distressing to me, and I'm sure it will be distressing to some of you. So if it is, then please just skip through the episode and we'll catch you next week.
Yeah. It'll be a cute one next week. Yes. A wholesome one. There's someone that started a thread on Reddit that said Halloween's around the corner and tell me spooky Adelaide stories. And someone, like, this is just a recommendation, but someone said, if you haven't seen it already, I'm pretty sure the movie Bring Her Back is set in Adelaide.
Oh.
And it's like an international movie. Like, it's been streamed everywhere, which is pretty cool.
Scary.
Not a spooky story, but a spooky movie.
That's lucky. Like, I don't know if this, tell me your thoughts on this as an international student, but like, growing up in Adelaide, nothing is set in Adelaide. So like, every time you watch a movie, even if it's set in Australia, it's set in like Sydney, Melbourne, the outback. Mm. Like, you never see any of Adelaide on screen. And I feel like it would be so freaky. So like, imagine living in London where like a million movies are set, or like America. And like, you just see like things that you watch on screen is like where you live every day. I would be so scared. But in Adelaide, sorry, there's like nothing. So I feel like if I saw a scary movie set in Adelaide, I would be like walking the streets of Adelaide, like checking behind my shoulders. True. And like,
or like, imagine being like living in America and someone says like, the real Annabelle is like missing. I would be scared. But if I'm like here, I'm like, whatever.
I'm like, okay, cool. Serve.
But there's been a lot of movies made from like Australian like studios. There's one called Talk to Me as well. Also from Adelaide.
Wow.
That's crazy. Everyone's just talking about them.
And obviously, like, this isn't really a Halloween, but there was the Snowtown murders in Adelaide.
What's that?
Have you heard of these?
No.
It's like the bodies in the barrel.
No. Oh my god, I'm getting chills already.
Like, it's like, I need to fact check this, but this is like facts. Like, this is real.
I feel like so into these horror stuff, but then I'd be so on edge for the rest of the day.
Oh my god, scary.
Oh, tell me.
Okay. I hope that this is like the full story. Okay, guys, this is going to be like the Wikipedia summary because it's like all I can find, but oh my god, so scary. So it's known as like Bodies in Barrels, the Snowtown murders. So it's a series of murders committed by 1, 2, 3, 4-ish people between August 1992 and May 1999. So over 7 years in Adelaide. The trial was like huge. Most of the bodies were found in barrels in an abandoned bank vault in Snowtown, hence the names given in the press for the murders. Only one of the victims was killed in Snowtown itself, which is 140 kilometres north of Adelaide. And neither the 12 victims or the 3 perpetrators were from the town. Although the motivation for the murders is unclear, the killers were led by this guy Bunting to believe that the victims were pedophiles, homosexuals, or weak in the case of some victims. The murders were preceded by torture, and efforts were made to appropriate victims' identities, social security payments, and bank accounts.
Oh my god.
The victims were chosen at random for imagined infractions. Some victims were murdered as they were suspected of being pedophiles based on flimsy evidence or rumours. Others were killed due to his dislike of obese people, drug users, or because they were homosexual.
What? Oh! When you said 1992, I was not expecting it to be that early.
Yeah, it's like recent.
Sorry, not... Yeah, recent.
It is believed the bodies were held in several locations around South Australia before being moved to Snowtown in 1999.
Oh, so people found it and then they moved it.
Like, they were around Adelaide and then they all got moved to Snowtown, which is where they got discovered. Like, no one knew about them until they were in Snowtown.
Oh!
Prosecutors believe that the killers moved the bodies after they became aware of the ongoing police investigation. The murders led to an economic boost of tourists visiting Snowtown and created lasting stigma. So, like, Snowtown is, like, known as, like, the murder town. Even though no one was... There was only one person actually murdered there.
Oh, still.
Shortly after the discovery of the bodies, the community discussed changing the name to Rosetown. In 2012, one shop in Snowtown was selling souvenirs of the murders.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh my god. So these people are probably still in jail and probably still like alive.
Oh my gosh. So the bank, they were like being stored in a bank vault. It had a 4-bedroom house attached. And in 2012, it was like put to auction and it didn't even sell for half of the price that it was supposed to.
Oh my god.
And then someone bought it and charged $700 to enter the house and have a look. And then in 2012, in September, someone moved into the house and lives in it still.
No.
Imagine living in a house with 12 ghosts
in it. No. I've never heard of this, ever. What's in that place now? What's in Snowtown?
I don't know. I think it's like a mining town or something. I've never, like, been there.
Nobody told me this.
Some of the... So the 3 people... that were like the actual murderers were given 11 life sentences, 10 life sentences without parole.
Mm.
And this one guy that was involved a bit less was given 4 life sentences, 26 years, no parole. And this other guy that, like, didn't do any murdering, he just helped them organize it all, was given 25 years. So maybe Adelaide's a bit more scary than we think.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. Well, I mean, it's, you never know. I don't really read the news as I used to. Like, as a kid, my parents would always have it playing. So in my head, I'm, like, kind of blocked out and, I don't know, trying to educate myself on TikTok. But this is insane.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
I've just gone back to your Reddit tab. This story is so freaky. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's like really short. So this person says, I don't know who it is, I house sat my auntie's house, which was apparently haunted. Lots of guests that she died over had weird experience, waking up with their bedroom windows open, seeing and hearing things. Mm. I moved in and the first night I saw something move past the hallway door, checked the house out and nothing there.
No.
I went to sleep and when I woke up, all the pictures in my room were taken off the wall and put face down on the carpet.
Nope.
This was 20 years ago and since then I've read on Reddit and I think their big gas central heater was probably faulty and leaking carbon monoxide through the house, which like makes you trip out.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Still. Oh, I hate that. Oh, another horror movie recommendation, which I'm pretty sure a lot of people already watch it if they do like horror movies, Conjuring 2. I don't know if you know, the end of that movie in the credits scene, they would show like a small presentation of the real photos taken in that case. It's, those photos are so scary. And then they would recreate it. And then while the credits are rolling, they would play the actual audio recording of that girl that was possessed.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like a 9-year-old girl, or like 12, I can't remember. 9-year-old girl with a voice of like a 60-year-old man. And she's like,
scary,
she's completely lost conscious and she's like talking in this very deep like voice and like raspy voice. And he's just like super mad. And yeah, it's so chilling.
Listen to this story as well. So this person says, this is the truth. I don't believe in afterlife, reincarnation, etc. But 20 years ago, our cat was bitten by a snake and went to the emergency vet. An overnight stay and a fair bit of coin, no guarantees. The next morning at 6 a.m., phone rings and the cat has died. A few hours passed before my wife could pick her and my daughters, I don't know, before she could pick the kids up from school. Mm-hmm. So the guy dug a deep hole in the backyard. And once the kids were home from school, they had a cute burial, whatever. The cat has now been deceased for many hours. Anywho, he goes into the laundry the next day where the cat was usually fed, and vertically going up the wall and horizontally across the ceiling are muddy cat paw prints, which I had to physically remove with soapy water and a sponge. I go to where the cat was buried the day before, exactly where we left it, untouched. No withstanding cats can walk up walls and across ceilings. My wife almost had tears when she saw it. So after seeing that, we don't have any answers to life.
Oh my god.
How crazy.
I'm getting like goosebumps. I'm going to have to edit so much of my voice being like quieter.
Oh, okay.
So the muddy paws will come from like being underground.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do it. Gone.
Okay, so obviously the Royal Adelaide Hospital has just been rebuilt and it got moved down the other end of North Terrace.
Yeah.
This person says,
wait, where was it before?
I think near Lot 14, but don't quote me on that. I could be wrong.
Okay, cool.
Okay, my grandma was in the old RAR and we decided to take her out for the day. And this person took the stairs and her family took the elevator. She lost count of the flights of stairs and accidentally went down 2 more flights than she was supposed to.
Mm.
And ended up in a huge corridor with round mirrors on the corners, like, you know, those squishy ones?
Yeah.
After walking a while, I looked up and saw someone standing behind me in a blue hospital gown. I turned around and nobody was there. So I bolted until I found the main entrance in my family. Turns out where I got lost was next to the morgue.
Oh, no.
Okay, I don't know if this is going to be interesting, but it seems like it will be. So I haven't read it yet, so we're hearing it at the same time.
Okay.
My family rented an old house in Parkside. It was in the late 70s. Some weird stuff happened there that I can't really find a reasonable explanation for. The bedrooms all came off of a really long hallway with kitchen, dining room and bathroom up the other end of the house. At night, we would all hear noises coming from the other end of the house, but I remember sometimes it sounded as if dried dog food was being poured out onto the floor, but nothing would be amiss in the morning. My mum said she used to wake sometimes and see a young girl standing at the foot of her bed who was just disappear. But mainly, I remember my brother and I used to run down the hallway on a weekend to wake our parents up, and sometimes we were stopped by what seemed to be the thickening of air in the hallway. absolutely nothing there that we could see, but somehow we just couldn't get through. It was both terrifying and exciting. These are all Adelaide stories as well, which makes it even weirder.
I know.
Thank God we're recording this in the morning because I'm like going to be so scared.
Yeah. Watch something like, oh, I can't do it. No.
One day my kids and I were walking through a department store in the city. I'd worked there a few years before we were there. As we're walking along the area that I used to work, I ran into my previous co-worker, Shelley. We like worked together during the time that we were there. We both grin, say hello. And as we walked past, my kids were like, who's that? And I was like, oh, I used to work with this girl, Shelley. A week later, another girl, she was in the same department store and someone else called out to her. And she was like, oh my gosh, I just saw Shelley here last week. Like, how's she doing? She goes silent for a moment and Shelley died a month before.
I can't do it.
So, like, you fully remember seeing someone and she's been, like, dead.
And her kids saw it. You know that theory about kids being able to see things that adults can't? That
so
has
crazy.
Never proved us wrong so far, just saying. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
A year ago, my girlfriend and I moved into my grandparents' house to keep an eye on my grandma and save money. A month after we moved, my grandma had a fall and was taken to hospital. And a little while after that, she moved into a nursing home.
Aww.
That night, in the middle of the night, we heard the sliding door open. It woke me up straight away. Then I heard footsteps walk into the room, walk up to the side of the bed and stop where my grandma used to sleep. I knew it was my grandpa who died 15 years ago. I said to him, it's just me. After 30 seconds, I heard the footsteps walk away and the door shut by itself. Over the next few months, lots of noises were heard, tapping on the sliding door, which could get the dogs barking, lights randomly turning on. And when my grandma finally died a few months later, I dropped my mum off at the airport after the funeral. When I got home, I heard laughing out the back. Always had the family shows out there. Went and checked, nothing or nobody was there.
I can't do this. I'm literally getting chills and I'm literally...
My hair is like standing straight on my arm.
Oh my gosh. But the fact... How did he know that it's the grandpa? Because of the way it was walking.
Yeah.
I can't do it. But they said like when you... Well, I don't know if it's a Chinese belief or something I've been told growing up is that if that ever occurs to you, you need to be calm. You need to like either disregard them or just tell them to like leave you alone and it's like you won't do anything stupid.
Oh.
But it's like, why would... what do you mean?
That's so scary. I actually
I can't do it.
Oh,
I can't believe you read that all out literally after telling me that you can't deal with any horror stories.
Yeah, I know.
You
and
just
these
kept
are, like,
going.
Real life ones.
Real life ones, and they're actually scaring me.
I know. I like really surprised myself. I got in a rabbit hole there. I was like scrolling on. I was
you
like...
went back to back, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm literally not even over the last one. Oh.
Okay. This is going to be the final one that I'll read out.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the like city library archive and it's about the Napier building on our campus.
Get out. We're here right now.
Yes, we're literally in the Napier building. In case you guys didn't know, we're recording the Napier building. We're on level one.
Yep. Okay. Are you sure?
This is about the sixth level.
Okay. I think we're good.
Yeah. There are many ghost stories associated with the sixth level of the Napier building at the University of Adelaide. By far the most famous is that of the dying lecturer that happened to a young lady, which could in fact be an urban legend or a ghost study dreamed up to scare new students. The story is as follows. A female student had completed an English assignment, which was to be handed in by the following morning. It was nearing midnight and she decided, rather than get up early to put the assignment in the English department's assignment completion box on the sixth floor, she would drop it right away. When she arrived at the building, the cleaners were packing up to leave and the majority of the internal lights were switched off. The young woman boarded the lift and headed towards the sixth floor. Once on the sixth floor, she noticed that the lights were on in the English department and the very last room at the end of the hallway in which she was now standing. She rushed down the hallway, hurriedly pushed her assignment into the box and rushed back to the elevator and pushed the down button. A little scared at being alone in the building and growing ever paranoid by the darkness and quiet, she soon became terrified when an English department lecturer suddenly burst through the department door at the end of the hallway and started running towards her.
While she was in the lift and it's like about to close.
Oh my God, I'm so scared.
Oh God.
The elevator doors suddenly opened. She stepped inside and hit the closed doors button. The doors closed just as the lecturer got to the elevator, but the young woman got a good look at the lecturer's terrified face before the doors shut completely. The following day, feeling guilty for leaving the lecturer in the manner she did, she returned to the neighbor building to offer an apology, only to find out that the same lecturer had been found dead at the doors of the sixth floor elevator. Since the death, it is claimed explained that at night, if you try to take the elevator, it will go straight to the sixth floor where this English department once was. And if you stare into the passage as the doors close, you will see the panicked face of the lecturer just as he was about to die. It's also reported that the lights flicker on and off continuously at night on the sixth floor since these events.
I don't know if I, like, you know when you're trying to close your eyes because you're scared, but you close and you imagine it and you open back your eyes? That's the problem I have right now. So she knew that this lecturer was, like, running to get out somewhere, and she closed the door.
Oh, my God.
Are you researching to see if it's real?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Oh, okay. I think I found another ghost story.
Stop. Why am I, like, so curious to go to the sixth floor right now?
This is a UniSA ghost story. It's really short.
Okay.
So over the years, there have been plenty of stories swirling about the ghost of Murray House at McGill campus. Mm-hmm. Of all the stories, it's the one of a little girl called May that spooks even the biggest of skeptics. An inquisitive child with blonde hair, she takes her place at the top of the stairs, dressed in period finery and often surprises guests with her presence. That one's a bit better. That's not too scary.
Yeah. No, can't do it.
Oh my gosh, there's more about this.
Napier guy.
No, the McGill campus girl.
Uh-huh.
So, like, she's said to be standing at the top of the stairs. Staff have reported doors mysteriously opening, items being moved, and hearing a girl whispering in their ears. Some claim to see a small girl in the doorway near their office.
I can't do this. I literally... I'm, like, such a visual person. Like, when you're telling me a story, I will, like, think about it while you're explaining.
Yeah, while we're literally sitting in the building.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God, and we caught the lift here.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, my God, if we did. No. We took the stairs, guys.
If you come to the Napier building, take this as your sign to take the stairs.
You know what? Like, when I got my laptop back, I thought I was going to see a photo of her or something. I really do want to search about this, though.
I don't know if I can come back to the Navy building. My hair on my arms.
Me too.
I'm, like, so scared.
Me too. I want to know about this guy, Alan Tiller. Oh, my gosh. He writes all about these haunted stories.
Oh, my God. No.
There's so many.
So where I sit at the university, I sit in this wing called the Old Classics Wing. It's, like, next to Elder Hall. And we sit, like, right up the top. It's, like, got all the big old windows, everything like that. And if you're there, like, the last person left on the top level, I swear to God, you can... And I don't... Like, my job doesn't have lots of typing. I more, like, move my mouse and click and things like that. I swear to God, you can hear typing, like, after hours when I'm sitting up there.
What the...
It's so weird. But, like, you walk around and, like, nothing's there. So then I just get freaked out and go home.
Oh, my God. Wait, when is this?
Every time that I've been the last person left, which, like, isn't that often. You can, like, literally hear typing. It's so weird.
Well, one time when me and Joe were in the end and everyone has left,
yeah,
we would hear, like, walking back and forth and we'd both, like, look over and no one comes to... towards us, but you hear it.
Yeah.
I can't.
So freaky.
Oh, don't even, like, think about it. There's so many that this guy's written about, like, haunted buildings in Adelaide. Okay, let me read you mine.
Yeah, I'm scared.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I've heard too many ghost stories.
Oh no, I'm so on edge right now. We'll just keep going. So when I was planning this episode on what I wanted to share, I wrote, like, a whole list of, like, not whole list, like, a story.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so people I grew up around, they all believed in spirits. They all believed in, like, not messing with them and, like, all these superstitions and, like, practices before you go on a hike and stuff like that. An example of this would be, like, my mom's friends all went out for a hike. And the belief is that when you're in the jungle or in a forest or in a lake, anywhere like nature, don't yell out your name, don't yell out your friend's name, stuff like that, especially when you're all in there.
Mm.
So someone was obviously calling one of my aunties while they were out and they're like, Sharon, blah, blah, blah. Nothing happened to her. She's fine. And, like, she didn't trip or anything. But the next day she woke up with, like, no sleep because she had nightmares back to back. She woke up with the bruises all over her legs. And it was, like, purple, green. Yeah. Didn't trip. But then, like, she thought about why that might be. And then that's what they linked it to. But I don't want to say...
You know, when you're, like, sleeping and you have a nightmare and you wake up and you feel like you're falling through your bed.
Yeah.
That's what that, like, reminds me of.
Yeah.
Or, like, you wake up and you're, like, crying. It's like waking up and your legs hurt, but then you look down and the bruises are actually there.
Yeah. Oh, that's things that no one can ever explain.
Yeah.
So my uncle, he has work in, like, this village area and is, like, surrounded by trees and stuff. And this village, there's no electricity during the night. So you only get light during the day and then no hot water, stuff like that. And it obviously means it would be really dark at night. Mm. And he was like getting up in his like the vanity area just to like, I don't know, unwind, go to bed.
Yeah.
But when he walked into his room, he saw this figure brushing her hair, and it's his comb, and she's like humming to herself, but she wouldn't like acknowledge him or anything. She didn't react. She just kept combing her hair super slowly and like super dark. So he asked her to politely, like very politely, just to leave, and she did, and she like just walked and continued like doing her thing without interacting with him or anything. And then the next morning he found like dirt on the comb and like leaves and stuff like that. Yeah, he's been telling us this ever since, like, us growing up. He always brings this up in, like, our Chinese New Year, like, round table dinners and stuff like that. Every time I'm with him and someone asks about it, it's like, if they hear about it, they're like, oh, what happened then? And he's like, yeah, she told to leave.
Oh, my God. You know what that reminds me of?
What?
Like, you probably relate to this more when you were living back in Malaysia, but, like, say, like, you've gone to school for the day, or, like, if I've gone to uni and, like, my mum's been home or my dad's been home, my sister's been home, mm-hmm. and, like, my family isn't really, like, shut your door, it's your room. It's like, if someone, not like they would just take things from my room, but like say my sister borrows my hairbrush, like the comb,
right,
it like won't be where I left it. So like I always do my hair on the floor. Oh. And sometimes my sister will borrow it and then it will be like on the desk.
Mm.
I'm like, oh yeah, chill, whatever, my sister must have used my hairbrush.
Yeah.
But then like I was house sitting this one time by myself and I would like do my hair on the floor, but then like the brush would be on the bed when I'd come home from uni.
Oh,
and I'm
God.
Like, what the f-? Like literally, like, how does that even happen?
And you don't remember using it on the bed?
No,
or anything?
Like, it's just weird.
Oh.
It's like that. Like, you swear that it's somewhere and then it's somewhere else. And it's like, normally you would just explain it by like, oh, someone was home, this person moved it, whatever.
But you were alone, house-sitting, nobody's there. It makes me wonder how many things we just, like, let go because we don't want to think too much about it.
Yeah, like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. But when you really think about it, you're like, that's actually so fucked.
That is fucked.
And this other one, my mom, she told me about like her niece that she was super close to. And this was back when, before they had children and they were all like kind of young adults. And this, her niece was like maybe a teen, and they all went to church camp. And it was like a camping site near the church. And this niece super kept herself very like down to earth and very like sweet.
Yeah.
And at night, they were just doing like another activity during camp. And then she went to the bathroom in the church because that's the only bathroom available. And the only person there was the priest that was probably like, I don't know, wrapping things up. And he heard screaming. So he went to check on her. And then he started calling people from the camping site, like I'm assuming that the supervisor or whatever. And they all went over and she's like uncontrollably screaming and in pain. And she's like, hasn't even used the bathroom. She's just in the stall.
Yeah.
So the pastor started praying for her and people were starting to like kind of like pin her down because she was like, you know, really panicked and whatever. Then they look up to her eye and blood comes, like starts falling down from her eye. She completely passed out for the rest of the night. I'm not sure what happened then. I can't remember what my mom told me. But I asked her like, have you kept in touch with her since? Like, what happened? And she was like, that family has been very kept from themselves since that day. And they no longer keep in touch, but she still has the niece's Facebook and she's got a family and everything, but they don't keep in touch. And
oh my God.
Their family has never been the same since that day. No one knows why though.
That is so scary.
I know. I literally can't. I can't. I haven't seen her face or anything, but.
Oh my gosh.
That one was still like in my head. I'm like trying to tell myself that maybe it wasn't blood. Maybe something happened and she found news on her phone or whatever that she was just upset about. I don't want to think about it, but.
Nah, I can't think too much about it.
Yeah. And then the third one. So I've got this teacher back in high school. His name is Mr. Didion. And Mr. Didion's friend's flatmate was backpacking. And he stayed in a hostel. And he was meant to share a room with someone. But the receptionist said that they had a last minute cancellation. So it was just him for the night. He took a shower, changed his PJs. And then suddenly someone knocked on his door late at night, explaining that he was meant to stay the night, but canceled. And then they managed to like let him stay anyway, because there was only two people per room was allowed in that hostel. Anyways, he told my teacher's friend that his previous stop was delayed or something. So he didn't think he'd make it, but he did anyway. And then he chatted and they got to know each other and they played some board games, I think. I'm not too sure. But that friend thought there was something off about him. He just couldn't tell what. And that place was eerie enough. Like, cause you're backpacking and you just go into whatever you need to stay for the night.
Yeah.
It's like white lighting and it's just like, you can hear the fan buzzing and stuff like that. It's just not comfortable. The fan on the ceiling was only turned on low because it creaks each time it goes on a full round. And the light flickers here and there, but it might just be bugs trapped in there. Who knows? Anyway, this friend does get along with this guy pretty well because they talked all night. And this guy and his roommate shared a bunk bed. And the... I wrote weirdo here, but that weirdo offered to turn off the lights because they were talking till 3 a.m. And he's like, oh, gotta go to bed because it's like a 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. start.
Yeah.
So that friend, my teacher's friend, had his back turned away, but obviously he could see the lights went off. However, he was at the bottom of the bunk. So he was expecting the bed to shake a little bit when they're like climbing on top of the bed. But he never felt that. He just, you know, just felt like he just turned off the lights and I don't know where he went. He was so tired, he didn't think too much about it. But the next morning, he saw that his flatmate had already left to his next stop. His bed was already made, the bags are all gone, but he didn't say bye or anything, but it might have been because the flatmate was asleep. He checks out of the hostel and he asks the reception what time the other guy checked out because it was about 8 a.m. at this time. And the receptionist asked him, what guy? You're the only one checking out from this room.
Stop. Oh, no. Oh. It's like, at what point are you the weirdo that stayed up all night talking to no one?
Yeah. They're like laughing and stuff and like getting to know each other.
And probably like back in the... So like my first thought just then, I always sleep with my Apple Watch on and like I track my sleep through it. So I would like go on and see like, did I dream that? Like, was I asleep at 3 a.m.? But imagine you go on and you were like literally awake until 3 a.m. and you just slept from 3 till 7. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. He was definitely up and like talking. Oh, I can't do it.
I literally have goosebumps.
Me too. I can see it.
Oh.
I can't deal with it. This is too much. Yep. That's all of our ghost stories, guys.
Yeah. Hopefully you're like a bit less freaked out than us, but maybe not.
I don't know.
At least hopefully you're not listening to this in the Napier.
I think that's what really got me with that story.
Oh my gosh. Well, as always, so grateful to everyone that's taken the time to listen to this episode. I hope that you've had a fab semester hustling through all of your classes and enjoyed this as a little break before you can knuckle down and smash out these last couple weeks of exams.
I'm still like really shaken up, not gonna lie. But thank you so much for listening in today's special episode of Take Note. If you enjoyed the show, then please follow us on Spotify so that other students can find us too. And you can also head over to our Instagram where you can follow us at ua.oncampus. Feel free to DM us if you have any thoughts on the show or this episode.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And if you guys know any ghost stories, please send them through and maybe I'll like share it to the story or something.
Because oh my gosh.
I am so scared.
Can you imagine someone just like, you're just trying to sleep and you get a notification on your work phone and you just see it and you're like,
oh no, that's so scary.
Send it through during the day, please.
Yeah. Preferably before 10 a.m.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
See you next fortnight.
Take note.
This is a UOA on campus production.